The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 299 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Only one episode away from our special guest next week's episode. I'm super excited to not only hit episode 300, but to share with you the guest finally. So this episode, though, is not to be missed. This episode 299, Parker Richards joins us, and he is a boat detailer. And boat detailing is his bread and butter, his thing. He's actually an independent contractor working at a boat dealership. So how's that? He does boats. He does boats at a dealership. And he's also a independent contractor servicing retail customers as well. So that's pretty cool. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Two quick products of the week. Obviously, autofiber.com. I tried one of their bigger towels. I think it's a 36 by 24 microfiber towel. Now, me being rinseless, it took me a few days to actually put a serious amount of water on a car to actually have to dry the car. So I did end up testing this towel from Autofiber. I'm not really sure. It's one of their bigger towels. I'm not sure the exact name. But I wanted to see the absorbency of the towel. So, but because I'm rinseless, it took me a few days to throw a hose on a car to figure out how well it worked. So in the meantime, I went to the pool and the jacuzzi. And I first tested this towel out as a bath towel. Of course, you would never use your high-quality microfiber towels as bath towels, but I did. And I'll tell you what, it worked better than a cotton towel to dry me off. So how's that for multi-purpose? And then I did end up actually using the towel after I washed it on a car. And it worked even better on a car than drying off my body. So you can check out the big towel at autofiber.com. You could save 20% with offer code Jimbo. And whether you use it to dry your body or to dry a car, you never even have to tell anyone like I did. Also, I did a video over on my YouTube channel about two iron removers. I used Ferrex and Gion iron and did a whole video on that. Used it on the rims and paintwork. So if you want to see not really my comparison, but just how they work, if you've never used an iron remover like I hadn't, you can jump on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/YouTube. And that is going to redirect you to my YouTube page, and you can check out that video. All right, let's get into this week's episode. Today, we have a super special guest, Parker Richards, from VIP Transportation in Fort Collins, Colorado. Is that right? At least that's what your phone says.
That is correct.
Good. Yep. And we are going
Good
to be
here.
Thank you for coming on. I'm super, super excited because we are going to be talking about boat detailing. So, Parker, I'm going to hand the mic over to you. Again, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. Thanks for bearing with me for the past half hour while I figured this.
Of course.
I'm very professional over here. I got this professional thing going, but technology. Anyway, why don't you give us a background on you? Because I don't think from our previous conversations you started in boat detailing, but I want you to kind of tell us just your journey, how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah, so initially starting out, I was working in a hot rod shop called Ron Jones Garage down in Loveland, Colorado, and worked for Ron Jones for a little over 7 years. Was doing a little bit of everything from just general production detailing to, some wet sanding, just putting together, finishing a full nut and bolt restoration projects, doing a little pressure washing, postal contracts, big fleet washing kind of contracts, and did that for a while. And while I was doing that, had, you know, a number of customers with the hot rods had approached, you know, they had boats and they said, can you guys detail the boats? And we said, sure. And after doing a few, it really turned into this thing where, being in a small town, I mean, there really was no one else detailing boats. I mean, there was just a handful of guys that were doing just literally bottom, you know, production detail, no paint correction or anything like that. And so I started to really progress into the boats, and now I've been, you know, doing it 7 years straight. So I'm 14 years total in detailing, and for the last 7 years, I've been nothing but boats. And so just really from a few customers, it's spiraled into, you know, I'm doing close to 200 boats a year now.
That is insane. So, and that's a ton of freaking work, man.
it is a lot of work for one guy, but it's also a lot of fun. I mean, it's something, you know, you get to start with something and end with a totally different product at the end. And it's a lot of fun.
Did you, like, right away, because for me, I'm not in love with doing boats, right? I actually don't really like doing boats because I don't have much experience with boats, kind of the boat lingo. It's almost to me like a whole separate animal. Gel coat, you know, I'm okay with RVs, but it seems like it's a whole different animal when it comes to boats. Is that true or?
It is. No? And it really has become interesting, you know, in the last 20 or so years, only because, you know, the gel coat has changed quite a bit. You know, if you have a 1990 Sea Swirl and you have a, you know, 2017 Centurion RI 237, you're talking totally different animals and definitely different ways to go about it. And so that's been a challenge, but it's also been fun because you can, you know, take some of the processes that you would use on the older stuff and transfer it into the newer boats and vice versa. I mean, you can kind of, you know, learn from both ends of the spectrum, but,
can you give us an example real quick of like how the gel coat is different?
Well, for starters, like on the older boats, I mean, generally you should have about, you know, about 15 mil of gel coat on the boat. Now on the older boats, you know, other than a bass boat, for example, you know, you're not going to have that gel coat clear, that real sparkly flake look on the boat. Where now, again, you're starting to see more of that on some Mastercraft, on the Malibus, on the Centurion. And what you have to be careful of is on, especially on the older stuff that's seen a lot of sun, you want to be really careful about how deep you go into wet sanding that if you're trying to, you know, wet sand cut and correct that. And that goes just as well for the newer boats. But my point on the older boats is, say it doesn't have the flake, it's just plain old regular gel coat and it's white. I mean, you can lay on that stuff pretty deep and go, I mean, I've had to go all the way to 500, wow, you know, on an Aberlon pad to, and then step all the way up to 4,000 to get all those sanding scratches out and then cut it and then correct it. So, I noticed on the older stuff, you can lay on it a little bit harder. On the newer stuff, you know, I'm generally in the 2,000 to 4,000 range as far as wet sanding goes to bring it back. I've had certain cases where you have to go deeper, but I would say that's the main difference.
So basically the newer, you have to be careful in both instances, but the newer boats are a little bit more sensitive, I guess?
Yeah, they are. And it really depends. It changes also from manufacturer. I mean, you know, obviously a Malibu is going to be totally different than a Centurion to a Cobalt to an Intrepid, you know, powerboat. So you always have to keep that in mind. Now I've had, you know, I just fixed a RI-237 a couple weeks ago. A guy had taken a Magic Eraser to the black portion just right underneath the rub rail, and it really marred the gel coat bad. I mean, scratched it.
Wow.
And on that particular, I mean, I had to go down to 1,000. It was black, of course.
Of course.
And went all the way down to 1,000 and then stepped back up to 4,000, cut it with the wool pad, corrected it on the DA, and couldn't even tell it was there. But so it also depends on the color as well.
I would think the only thing worse than a black car would be a black boat or a black RV.
Black RV as well. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing too is, you know, on the black boats, obviously with the water standing, I mean,
right,
being in a high, dry desert where I'm at in Colorado, it's very low humidity. And so the water is very hard. So you could go run a boat one time around the lake and pull it out. And when you're putting it on the trailer and it dries, if you don't wipe it down and you just drive it home and then you get home, you may have a hard time getting those water spots off if you're just trying to use a, you know, final inspection or something.
Yep.
To clean that up.
Wow.
So,
and I want to kind of really get into kind of the products and processes, because I think that'd be really valuable for people. But I definitely do want to touch on, and maybe it might be jumping around a little bit, but I want to touch on your, like, how your operation works. Because you have VIP detailing, VIP transportation, but you're actually working at a boat dealership, right? So can you talk about maybe how that kind of evolved and came about, and then a little bit about your setup there?
Sure. So I've been doing boats for Island Lake Marine, which is a Centurion and Sea Ray dealership in Fort Collins, Colorado, for the last about 7-8 years. And I found out just about a year ago that my lease in Loveland was not being renewed. So I worked out a deal to come out and be on site at the dealership and still continue to do all the boats, but also cut a lot of liability off as far as having to transport all these boats around from, you know, picking it up here, taking it to the shop, taking it back, where now they just drop it off and go. You know, we go right to work. And that's been huge as far as time-wise. I mean, it gets so much more done that I'm not just driving boats around all over, picking them up, dropping them off.
Wait, so just so I'm clear, you were out of a shop before?
Or no? I had my own shop in Loveland, yeah.
Got it, okay.
Just, you know, real estate's been, you know, hard, tough as it is all over the country. And
yep.
So I moved here, it just made more sense to be on site. Yep. Now, being that I'm an independent contractor, you know, I just basically get a percentage and the dealership gets a percentage. But it's really worked out well because the volume has increased tenfold just in this first year of being on site, of people, you know, customers realizing I don't have to go get my boat serviced here and then go get it detailed. It's all kind of a one-stop shop, and it's shown in the volumes of boats that we've already done this year.
That's what me and you, and I want to make sure we touch on this, kind of have talked about, is that trade-off, right? Of like, okay,
sure.
Well, yeah, you're giving a cut to the dealership, right? And whatever right. that cut is. However, you're not having to spend extra money on garage keeper's insurance, the rent, because you don't pay rent there, right? Or you do, but just not as much.
I do not pay rent. I do have my own garage keeper still. Just something that I've always had, you know, how, you know, they have their insurance here, but I also carry my own insurance just as an extra precaution.
But the biggest nut to crack being probably rent, you don't even have to worry about. So
yeah.
If you had
it, yeah, don't have to worry about rent, water, electricity, any of that.
That's got to be huge. So like we talked about on the phone before, like you really have to weigh the pros and cons of that, right? Because if you go through a dry spell or the economy turns a little bit in one direction and maybe boats are in that thing where people slow down on the detailing or purchasing of boats, maybe not, I have no idea, but maybe they are, you know, you still will probably have a steady flow of work coming. Maybe you'll drop from 200 boats a year to 150 or 125, but that's a lot of freaking boats still. You know what I mean?
A lot of boats, and it is, and it has been a give and take. I thought long and hard about, do I want to go back to my own brick and mortar place, but then do I worry about that $3,000 to $3,500 a month nut in rent in January when I've got, you know, a foot of snow on the ground and
right.
nothing's going on?
Right, because that's a lot of boat work, too. $3,500 worth of work, you know, just to pay the rent.
Yeah, just to pay the rent. That's nothing else. I mean, it's, you know, to get into the size of a shop that you would need, you know, a 14-foot overhead door at least to get these big wakeboard boats in, have the big towers, and then, of course, you know, cabin cruisers and everything else. So that went into a lot of it. The other beautiful part is that the dealership that I'm at, we have our own private lake, so it makes for late testing, and you know, if I got to go run something or whatever, we have that ability to do it, and it makes life a lot easier.
Wow, that's really cool. I didn't even think something like that even existed.
We're the only boat dealership in the state of Colorado that has their own on-site lake.
Now, what would a dealer detailer need to run a boat for, other than just enjoy it because you like boats?
That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, sometimes after we do decon washes, and it's up on the hoist, we'll have to set it back down on the trailer. We'll put it in to get it readjusted on the trailer exactly right. So, you know, sometimes we'll go run it one time, but, most of the time it's just to go enjoy it, but client's permission, of course.
Of course. So let's get into kind of some of the processes that you use for working on a boat and maybe how that differs from a car. As far as products are concerned, like, are you doing a foam bath on it? Are you doing a rinseless? Does it not matter? Is it like
a wet towel?
A rinseless. Okay.
Yeah. So depending on the condition of the boat and how it gets to me really kind of depends on, you know, what and how you start the process. The majority of them come with some kind of hard water.
Okay.
Being that they've been running around the lake, they've been sitting. So there's a couple different ways to go about that. I personally like to use distilled white vinegar straight up, right out of the bottle from the grocery store. Cost effective and really seems to cut down on that, on those hard water deposits. And I'm trying to get the surface prepped and clean as possible. Then I generally go through and O&R the exterior of the boat. Again, just another rinseless wash just to keep the cleanliness up. And then from there, get it inside and get it under the lights and really decide, okay, where are we going with this? Is it a one-step polish? Is it a two-step? You know, what's the customer after? That kind of thing. But
so you're actually doing the water spot removal before you even wash the boat?
I prefer to, yeah. Okay. I mean, I had some this past summer that literally you could put Iron-X, you could put whatever you wanted on it, and it wouldn't touch it without, you know, either doing some kind of wet sanding or some kind of machine polish to totally remove that water staining. Like I say, every boat's different and right. Every lake's different.
Totally. So how does the boat get to you then? Is it the sales advisor or the service advisor is kind of selling the detail for you and then it gets brought over to you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. That's part of it. You know, that's probably a quarter of it. A quarter of it is just been really word of mouth. Been doing this a while now, so people just
They'll come there and ask for you.
They'll come and ask for me. A lot of times people don't know that they're coming to the dealership to drop the boat off to get service. They see our little sign on the wall that says in-house, you know, professional boat detailing. And they go, wow, I didn't know, you know, it was all in one shot. And so it's really been a convenience thing for the customers. And that's been the feedback that I've been hearing from the customers is that it's making life a lot easier on them, which in turn makes it a lot easier for them to decide, well, yeah, we'll get it serviced and get it detailed all in one.
I love that. I think it's a great idea. Did you have a couple things that you, I know you talked about a few notes the other day that you wanted to bring up. Do you have that available or do you remember what you wrote down?
I do. Okay. I do. Yeah. I mean, I got a couple things. There's a lot of correlations between the auto detailing world and the boat detailing world. And I think we all tend to, there's so many videos and everything online and there's a lot of different techniques and there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. And as far as that goes and products, you know, I always say you try things out and see what works for you. And whatever works the best for you, go with it. And that's kind of what I've done. You know, as far as equipment goes, I've been really, the last couple of years, been just super into efficiency and even the littlest of things. Like, getting the roller stools, the work platforms, the correct ladders, the scaffolding, that kind of thing has saved me so much time on the, especially on the bigger boats. I mean, that stuff is worth its weight in gold. And it's something that, as far as cost, it's pretty minimal, and the return on that stuff's brought is invaluable.
Are you responsible for all your own tools and products there?
I am.
Okay.
Yep, I am. Yep. And I'm okay with that, because I can kind of, you know, pick and choose and really get in what I need and what I know works. And
right.
But you know, for example, everyone is like, man, a Snap-on, you know, roller stool is kind of spendy, and I look at that and go, it is. However, when I can literally just cruise along the floor when I'm wet sanding or doing a gel coat correction and just do not have to stop because I don't have this cheap stool that keeps stopping because the wheels don't roll. I mean, that's time, and it adds up. And especially if, you know, you're on a 24-foot boat and you're on a timeline.
Right.
And so I've been, last few years, just really trying to get everything down to, it goes in the pattern. You work it as a progression. You do things that fall in line to make sure that you, number one, don't have to do it again, but it also leads you into the next, you know, task that you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a common thing.
That's worked really well.
Whether cars or boats, that people don't understand is there are some things that are investment pieces, and then there's some things that are just expenses, right? And people will group those together,
sure.
like a rolling car or a rolling stool, right? Like, some people could look at that as a expense. It costs, what are they, probably like $1,000 or something?
Oh, no. I mean, I just have the little bar stool one. I want to say $250, okay. $300 maybe, okay. Somewhere in there.
Right. So they look at that and go, okay, it's $250, $300. I'm not ready to take on that expense. And then they forget to look at the flip side of it, of like, okay, on the first boat, it's going to save me an hour or a half an hour or whatever. So after four boats, it's going to more than pay for itself. And then it's going to, and then
absolutely,
beyond that, it's going to be just a hugely profitable thing. And not to have to freaking hassle with getting your wheel stuck, which is super annoying.
Yeah. And it's just little stuff like that that I found that, like, over time can, when it slows you down that much, you know, in a day, it really adds up. A lot of the guys, you know, we can always sit here and argue, do you do the interior first? Do you do the exterior first?
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing. I go to what works best for me, and I prefer to go interior first, at least just get the first initial vacuum in, get it to where, you know, I'm not doing a wipe down on the vinyl or anything, just going,
right,
checking out all compartments, just seeing where I'm at. Then I get it, you know, outside wash, get it back inside, and it depends too on what you're doing. Are you doing a full detail, or are you only doing an interior, or are you only dealing with some mold and mildew in a storage compartment? I mean, what is it? So I try to, you know, for the job at hand, lay it out as, okay, yes, it's this, and then proceed to go do it. But yeah, it's the weather here obviously has a lot to do with that,
right,
process too, depending on the year, that can drastically change things.
Right.
Especially in the wintertime, you know, when we're pretty much stuck inside, but.
And how does that change things? Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. So yeah, the wintertime, it makes it interesting, being that obviously we're not outside, you know, doing decon or acid washes in January. You know, we're pretty much set to just doing interiors and or, you know, exterior, you know, gel coat corrections, wet sanding, any of that stuff inside the shop. You're just not, you know, you're washing inside. You're not doing anything outside. That's really the only main thing, but
okay.
You can still make it interesting.
Do you prefer
in the winter?
Right, but so you don't have an indoor wash bay for the boats?
We do not. We have the building that I'm in is recently built, just a year ago, and we could not get permitted to get drained
in
the building. So.
Got it. Do you prefer, and just, I know this goes way back to what we were talking about, but do you prefer a wiping the boat down with hard water spots with straight white vinegar or like an acid?
So it depends on how I try to get as much information from the customer as possible. I mean, how long has it been like this? Did you just come from the lake today, or has it been like this for 3 or 4 weeks? If it's been on there for, you know, longer than 3 or 4 weeks, then yes, I prefer to move up a little bit to an acid, you know, Algex from Aurora Marine Industries, or Zing Hole Cleaner is another one of my favorites. However, that stuff is highly acidic, highly corrosive, and definitely
nasty
more
to work
PPE. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm talking PVC gloves, correct mask and eye protection, Tyvek suit, the whole thing.
Right.
So from that standpoint, you know, I try to just get eyes on the boat and say, okay, do I need to, you know, I did one yesterday that sat in Cherry Creek Reservoir since May 1st, and I literally had to use the Zing straight up.
Wow.
Where on a lot of them, I like to mix it down, you know, get to 10 to 1, 15 to 1, somewhere in there, so it's not as aggressive, but it's going to take the hard water off, but it's not going to, you know, be damaging to the gel coat either.
Right. And so can the acid actually eat through the gel coat?
It's hard to explain.
Or it etches it.
It can etch it, and if it's too strong, when you wipe it on, because this has happened, obviously, you wipe it with like a you know, if you spray it on the towel and then wipe the microfiber on the gel coat, you'll see it kind of, it looks like string cheese kind of, the top layer almost, you know, etched off. So that's what you've got to be careful of, is that, you know, I prefer to dilute it down if it's, especially on the brand new stuff. I've noticed that you've got to go down at least, you know, 10 to 1.
Got it. What else do you have on your list of things to highlight?
So another big thing that I deal with here a lot is mold and mildew. And people always ask me, that's crazy for being in Colorado. It's always dry there. You guys get no rain, and there can't be any mold. It's impossible. And I would venture to say that 7 of every 10 boats that I detail have some kind of mold or microbial growth in them. Whether that's on canvas snap covers, in the carpet, on the vinyl, storage compartments. I've seen it everywhere. And so that's something that we've really been attacking and dealing with the last few years. And my biggest tip would be to not use bleach. A lot of bad misconceptions are out there. You hear a lot of guys say, oh, I'll use the bleach and water, it's fine. Well, the bleach is really hard on vinyl, obviously, on the stitching.
Right.
And, you know, take the finish off of the vinyl. And the other thing is that depending on what kind of mold or mildew it is, sometimes actually make it worse, believe it or not.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. I really like to use a product that is not a chemical. It is a natural botanical. It's called Benefect Decon 30.
How do you say that again?
And that it's Benefect Decon 30. And it is a thyme seed oil. And it's they make it, the one company makes it. And basically, it's a 99.99% antimicrobial spray. So it's food grade. You can literally, I mean, I spray it on, after I'm done detailing the boat, I go through and spray Benefect all over the boat on the inside.
Interesting.
Just as a preventative measure.
Ah.
And
but it also works
really good
as,
luck with that.
Okay. But it also works as, it also works as to remove the mold and as preventative.
Yeah, you can use
as a
preventative and as a disinfectant, as a preventative. It's a really interesting product, and being that you can literally spray it and not required to have any PPE on.
Got it. Okay.
It's
safe.
And that has been honestly my biggest tip I can give is, you see the mold or mildew like in a canvas snap cover, you spray Benefect on there, let it dwell 5 to 10 minutes, pressure wash it off. Not only does it remove the mold and mildew, but then it also kills it, and then it won't let it return.
Nice. That's huge.
I see a lot of videos of these guys trying to you know, they're putting bleach and all these other, you know, they're using degreasers a lot of the time on canvas covers, and that may get the dirt out, but
right.
it's going to do nothing to get any kind of mold or mildew out of it. And you may not see it, you know, your eyes may not, you may look at it and go, oh, it's gone. Well, you just took off the top layer. It's still in the canvas.
So what do you do if, like, one time, just thinking back, this boat that was in the water, this client didn't want to pull it out of the water. It was like a two-story boat, I guess. And the canvas on the top was tan, and it was like filled with mold, right? So could you spray it, and it was on the inside, or maybe it was on the outside, but it seemed like it was on the inside. So if all the electrical components are up there, can you not pressure wash the stuff off? Can you leave it on? Or
yeah.
I
prefer, especially if there's electrical stuff, obviously best case if you can get it off of the boat. I mean, that's
okay.
Number one. I always try to remove anything that is affected. You know, anything that has the mold or mildew on it, it has to come out of wherever it is. Because if you just try to clean that in there, you know, you're just spreading it around, basically.
Right. It sucked.
And that's the thing. It's very difficult, especially when you have electrical around. I mean, you can't just go in there and start blasting, or, you know, a lot of guys will say, oh, we'll just go put a fan on it. Well, all that does is just spread the spores around. So biggest thing is just take, if you can, I know there's
right.
some extenuating circumstances
sure.
out there, but if you can, always remove the affected items out of the boat. Like if I find a bunch of, you know, life jackets and fire extinguisher and all this stuff in the ski storage, and it's got mold all over it, it's all coming out. And, you know, the tossables, the sunscreen,
right.
the koozies, all that stuff is going in the trash.
Right.
Because if you put it back in there, you're just going to contaminate an area that you just spent a ton of time cleaning.
Right. You know what I used, and it seemed to work. I mean, honestly, I didn't even want to do the job, but the customer just wanted me to see what I could do. And I did it, and it was pretty much raining outside. Horrible situation, right?
Right.
The remote. Anyway, I used an ozone generator, and it seemed to help with the – it just kind of turned everything from, like, the blackish, green, brown, whatever color to, like, gray. And then it almost just turned to dust, and it kind of helped, but – I was just thinking about that because that's really the only experience I've had with, like, mold growth on a boat. And obviously, best case was to just get a new freaking cover or take it off.
Right.
You know, but
sure.
But yeah, it must be a bigger issue than I know.
I've never personally used the ozone machine. I'm aware of them. I've had other detailers that have used them in the past. The only thing that I've heard that you have to be, you know, wary of is, sometimes inside the boat, you just want to be careful about, you know, the rubber, like the rub rails
right.
and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of some people having issues, you know, and it could have been because they left it in there too long and
yep.
or whatever, but.
Totally. What else you got on your list? I know you probably got to get back to work, but I want to, do we have any last things?
Say it again.
Do we have any last things we got to hit? I don't want to take you away from work too much longer. But was
no,
there anything else on your list? Or I really hope that you can become a resource for people interested in boat detailing. You know, because I do think it's
yeah,
a big
I mean,
market and a lot of money to be made there.
Yeah, it's, you know, my biggest thing too is just trying to network with other boat detailers all over the country. Got a lot of guys that I talk with, you know, on a weekly basis that are in Tennessee and Orlando, Florida, and, you know, Vincent Marcy over in Connecticut, all those guys, you know, I try to constantly just stay in touch with them and throw different ideas off them and just really see how they're, you know, because they're on the ocean. They're doing just like you. You guys are doing stuff that's totally different than what I'm doing, and that's what makes it all fun. There's a lot of different ways to do things, but being in different areas of the country is going to kind of dictate how you go about doing them. So, you know, I would say the networking, that's what I'm really working on right now, is just getting a big group of guys together just to see what works and what doesn't, you know?
Totally. So people then, with that in mind, if people want to follow you on Facebook or find you and reach out to you, how could they do that?
Yeah, so my Facebook page is VIP Transportation, all caps.
Nice. And I'll link that.
You can be found on there.
Cool. And I'll link that up in the show notes, too, if people just want to look at the show notes. And I'll also put the product recommendation, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there any last words you want to say or anything else you want to say before we end the
interview? No, I appreciate you having me and look forward to coming on again with you. It was a great time.
All right, guys, that's it. That was episode 299 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Big thanks to Parker for coming on and sharing some time and tips. We're going to have him back on in future to talk about coatings and boats and the benefits of that. He's been running some tests, so that's super exciting, something super exciting to look out for. Reach out to him if you're in the boat detailing community. That'd be cool. And of course, the last reminder I would have is the Detailer Inner Circle. Guys, if you're looking for a group of professional detailers, professional business owners, there's nothing like this in the detail community currently. We have a very nice group of guys going on where we talk about marketing for detailing, and we also talk about detailing processes, and we have monthly mastermind calls. In fact, we're doing 2 a month right now. Voxer groups, a ton of stuff. If you're interested in taking your business to the next level without high entry fees and all that, see if the Detailer Inner Circle would be the right fit for you. All you have to do is go to detailerinnercircle.com. That's detailerinnercircle.com, or you can check the link in the show notes below. I'll have it and see if it's the right fit for you. We have over an hour long video completely free for you to check out, and we also give you some goodies if you decide to join or sign up. And if you do, we'll see you on the inside of the Detailer Inner Circle.